our wildernesses, and we've come to receive the word of God, be guided by his hand. He'll feed us with his bread, and that's the bread of his word. And so as we worship this morning, as we come to gather together and welcome to everybody from wherever part of the circuit, it's good to see many churches represented here this morning. You're very, very welcome, and welcome, of course, to Peter, who will be leading our worship this morning. And it's good to join together to worship and to praise our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It is the fifth Sunday in Lent, believe it or not, and as we gather together, it's a reminder that next week we're not meeting here at Bethesda for Palm Sunday, but we are going to join, hopefully, at Bethlehem with St. Mary's congregation as well. So we look forward to that. Ali. Right, so there's a procession starting at 10 from St. Mary's Church up to Bethlehem, if you'd like to join with that, or you can just go to Bethlehem itself. So we look forward to that. I won't be here, but I hope the service goes really well, and I hope you have a great celebration of Palm Sunday as Jesus entered into Jerusalem on his way to the cross. So that's just a reminder, there is no service here next week. But there is a service here on Easter Sunday, although it's not on the plan, but Nola will be taking our service here on Easter Sunday. And as part of our Easter celebrations, we dress the cross with flowers. So just a reminder to any who might be coming on Easter Sunday that to bring some flowers and we can dress the cross. So that's just a reminder, but it's a fortnight's time, so you have to keep it in your head. Diane, you'd like to say something.
Good morning, everybody. Next Saturday is the Synod, which will be held at Bethlehem. And we have been asked to provide certain refreshments, breakfast for our friends from Guernsey who will be arriving at the crack of dawn, and teas and coffees. I've got a small team of ladies who very kindly offered to help serve teas and coffees and wash up. But if anyone would like to make a cake, that would be really gratefully received. If you'd like to speak to me afterwards, because we will be serving cake as well as the lunch. I think that's everything I had to say. I'm looking at Mary now. Anything else you want to add? Yeah, so thank you for those who've offered to help already. And if anyone, any of you bakers out there, perhaps you'd see me later. Thank you.
On the subject of cake, we're absolutely delighted. We've got at least 14 families coming to decorate their Easter cake and to learn about the Easter story on Wednesday afternoon. I think I've got enough bases, but perhaps people who've offered to do them could speak to me afterwards just to confirm so that we don't arrive with not enough. but I think it's going to be a lovely afternoon, and those of you who perhaps can't come or aren't able to, perhaps you could please pray for us on Wednesday afternoon, because it's a wonderful opportunity and it should be great fun, and we need your prayers. Thank you. Oh, for anyone who doesn't know, I think most of you have seen it. Well, it came through on the notices, but we're doing Easter cake decoration. So we're making a base for everybody, and then on that base they will create their Easter garden, which will include a representation of the tomb and flowers and trees and all sorts of things. And so they will make all the bits that go on it, and there might be a few chocolate eggs as well, you never know. And then they will take those home and share those with their family. And Naomi's coming and will share the Easter story based on the cake and what is represented on the cake to everybody. And we have little Easter books to give to everybody, all the children who and young people who come.
Finally, we are taking a retiring collection for Myanmar. Many of you will have seen on television the terrible devastation that the earthquake has caused. So there's been an urgent appeal through all the charities who are working there under the umbrella of the Disasters Emergency Committee. But we're collecting for all we can, which is the Methodist sort of branch of that. There's a basket on the table in the porch if you'd like to contribute. Right. Sue's got it. She'll stand outside with the basket at the end. Is that all right, Sue? Right. Please give generously towards that disaster there. Sorry? Will we? We're not here next week. Well, I think just we'll send the money. So, right. People can always contribute in other ways anyway. So, this is how that. Anything else we should know about? Right, any birthdays to celebrate this week? We've got Rodney. Anybody else got a birthday this week to celebrate? No? Well, Ella's not here.
So we'll sing happy birthday to Rodney.
And we ask God's blessing on you for your birthday, Rodney. During Lent, we've been thinking about the various symbols of Lent, which we've placed on the cross, the cup and plate, the bowl. And this week, we've added the bowl and towel to the cross, the various symbols of cross. So if you'd say words in bold, please. Jesus, our Saviour, knelt before his friends and washed their feet. God, who seeks to rescue us, offers to wash us clean. God, who loves us, needs us to serve as he served. And of course, we've got the bread and wine on the table. God, the source of life itself, offers himself to us. God, who breathes the breath of life in us, feeds us through brokenness and love, poured out unstinting. God, who loves us, needs us to serve as God served.
As our call to worship this morning, we're going to hear some words from Isaiah chapter 43, starting at verse 16. It says, "This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not see it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." And that's what we're going to do this morning together as we come to worship him, as we lift our voices to him in worship. So I invite you to stand if you're able, that we may praise our Lord and our Saviour. Indeed, you do reign over all this morning. Lord God, we give you the praise and the worship that's due your holy name. Wonderful Counselor, the way, the truth, the life. We praise you this morning, Lord. We honour you and we worship you with our very being. We lift our hearts to you and ask that you may dwell in us this morning. That you would awaken our hearts to your life, to your glory. May your praise forever be on our lips. King of kings, Lord of lords, we worship and we praise you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue in worship.
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be lifting up the name of Jesus and sharing his word and sacrament with you this morning. There's a true story told of a brain surgeon who was operating on someone for 8 hours without ceasing. And after that operation, the surgeon was physically exhausted and drained. So much so that he had to be led from the operating theatre by a nurse as if he was a blind man or a small child. Such was the sacrifice of his work and his love for that person. And that's really the theme of our word today, as we'll hear in our Bible readings now. First, Annelie is going to read to us about Paul and what he thought of himself and his former life compared to knowing Jesus. And then our gospel reading, John chapter 12, which tells how Mary poured out all she had in loving devotion to the Lord. So let's listen for the word of the Lord, and then Joe and Richard will lead us again in a song.
I'm going to read this a little slower, because when I first read it, I found it extremely difficult to follow. So if you'll just, hopefully I'll do it justice. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 14. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. May God grant us understanding of his inspired word. Amen.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So there we had two very powerful Bible readings of sacrifice, of commitment, of dedication to God. So let's continue with that theme as we continue to sing. I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. Shall we stand together?
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, made known through prophets, made firm through Scripture, made flesh in Christ, made present by your Spirit. Thank you that you speak through us and to us. Make us expectant to hear and ready to respond. Amen. I want to preach this morning on our gospel reading, where we are transported to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus, who had died and was alive again, was at this meal, which was a celebration. But it wasn't held in honour of Lazarus. It was held in honour of Jesus, the Saviour, the one who raised the dead, who had called him out of the tomb. And today, let us immerse ourselves in this dramatic moment, these scenes that unexpectedly unfold at this dinner party. Our senses would come alive in that humble home on a warm evening. We can imagine the gentle laughter and conversation that would fill the house, the scent and taste of the aromatic home-cooked food. But then the smell changes, and all of a sudden nostrils are filled with the scent of overwhelming perfume. And our attention turns to its source. And we see Mary, the disciple, kneeling humbly at the feet of Jesus, lovingly anointing his tired feet with expensive and exotic perfume from the East. Here, Mary imitates the Magi who knelt at the feet of Jesus at his birth with frankincense and myrrh and worship. And Mary's worship and adoration is equal to theirs. Mary senses something, that there may not be many more opportunities to show such devotion, that she owed him everything and so could hold nothing back for later. It was all given in this moment. Yes, with the Apostle Paul, Mary here knew what it was to lose all for the sake of Christ, the object of her affection. And this wasn't just the spray of perfume or aftershave that you may have put on this morning. No, this was the whole jar, worth a year's wages. Imagine that today. The whole jar is emptied, it's sticky resin, a half litre or more of liquid devotion, overpowering perfume. And I imagine that Mary went home that day with the scent of the perfume in her hair and on her hands. And I wonder if it lingered as long as Easter. And no wonder this story lingers in the church's memory to this very day. Just as Jesus ordained it, this story will be told in memory of her. I was reminded of these words of a 19th century English poet, Arthur Symons. Romantic, but they could be said of Jesus as well. As a perfume doth remain in the folds where it hath lain, so the thought of you remaining deeply folded in my brain will not leave me. All things leave me, you remain. Overpowering perfume. Why? Because of Mary's overflowing love. Her overflowing love. And these are the catchwords: overbearing perfume, overflowing love. You and I are inspired as we look at Mary, and it just makes us think about our relationship with Jesus and how we might feel if we were at that table on that night, and what our reaction would be. But are we not inspired and moved by her love for Jesus? And quite a lot challenged as well, if we're honest, thinking, how do I compare to Mary? How warm is my love for Jesus today? Is it warm or cold or cool? And how do I express my love to Jesus? Private devotion, yes, but also so that other people can see that I love Jesus, but without it being showy. To be a public witness that he is the most important thing in my life. How much do I give of myself to him? And we might find that a hard exercise to do. It was C.S. Lewis who was spot on when he said or wrote, "On the whole, God's love for us is a much safer subject to think about than our love for him." God's love for us is a much safer subject to think about than our love for him. And yet we are moved in this moment to consider our love, our devotion for the Lord, and maybe confess where we are more careful, more considered, rarely wants to act on such impulse, maybe first calculating what it will cost us, holding back and not giving everything in one go, saving our gift for an unknown day that we may not see. Loving by installments, or keeping the cork on the bottle. And isn't it true that our capacity for love diminishes if we keep it bottled up and held in? Yes, we're prompted today by Mary's urgency in her giving. How much time is there left? In our circuit leadership and at circuit meeting, we are continually challenged to break open our resources like Mary did, and not to hold on to things, but to keep on releasing that which is precious to us. It was a 20th century American missionary and martyr, Jim Elliot, who said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to receive that which he can never lose." He is no fool who gives what he can't keep to receive that which he can never lose. We lay what we have at the feet of our Lord. Mary's moment says to us, never lose that first love for the Lord that brought you here today, but keep on loving him best of all, above all. In stark contrast, there is the response of Judas, who openly criticized Mary. Her perfume really got up his nose, and he didn't like it. And he scolded Mary, accusing her of wasting money. Judas was keeper of the common purse. But all is not quite what it seems. Although the poor are in his thoughts, the poor are not in his heart. Because John tells us that Judas stole from the common purse. When we think of Judas and, well, we wonder and marvel that Judas was called by Jesus to be a disciple. But Jesus saw something in Judas. He called him. He saw something good. And Judas represents one of the strange mysteries of life, the capacity for good and wrong within a single person. Generosity and selfishness. It's been said there's a saint in every sinner and a sinner in every saint. And Judas disparages Mary's devotion. And it's that criticism that really spoils the moment. Judas gets it wrong, and it won't be the last time. Mary's overflowing love shamed his coldness of heart. Overbearing Judas, he knew the price of Mary's act, but not the value of it. And we would see Judas's money bag again, filled with 30 pieces of silver. So was this scene a first betrayal of Jesus? That Jesus didn't know Jesus's true value? Why are you doing this, Mary? Is Jesus worthy of it? And Jesus reprimands overbearing Judas and defends Mary with the command, leave her alone. You'll always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. Jesus knew the time was coming when he would leave them. You will always have the poor with you. Jesus was not saying this to forget the poor, but for us to always remember them. And it's why we're having the retiring collection today for the victims of the earthquake in Myanmar and Thailand. So Judas, like Mary, teaches us a lesson today. God spare us from being overbearing towards others or criticizing others' devotion to the Lord. And Judas is not alone in this sense of opposition. There are murmurs of agreement with him from the men at the door as they gatecrash this party, the chief priests, the Pharisees, who will whisper in the ear of Judas and help him to help them with his arrest. So this scene comes to an end. The fragrance dissipates into the cold night air. And as darkness falls, the party ends, the guests drift away. The oil lamps are put out, and it is night. And the countdown to the cross has begun. The hour of his glory draws near. And in this evening at Bethany, we witness an overshadowing of the Easter story. There is risen Lazarus at the table, and he prefigures the risen Jesus. There is Mary kneeling at the feet, washing and wiping away, and that prefigures the towel and the bowl that our servant Lord would take in the upper room. Mary's pouring out of love would prefigure the cross, where Jesus would give his all, breaking open his very life for us, forgiving those who crucified him, having time for a dying thief at his side. And Mary's spiced perfume, anticipating those that would be brought for Jesus' burial. So now we journey towards Palm Sunday and Holy Week, giving thanks for the lessons and warnings of this event. We've remembered overpowering perfume, overbearing Judas, and overflowing love, and the overshadowing of the cross. This Easter with Mary, may we discover the joy and the glory of giving. Amen. A moment of quiet prayer as we seal God's word in our hearts by his Spirit, and let him do a work of grace within us. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayer. Amen.
Amen.
And let's continue in response and worship as we sing, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. We are reminded of the cross of Jesus, his suffering, and as Paul said in our reading, that our sufferings and the sufferings of this world are in fellowship, at one with the sufferings of Jesus. And so we're going to bring the needs of the world, of people and places on your heart today, to the foot of the cross in prayer. Let us pray. And Lord, we begin by praying for your church. lifting up all those mission opportunities that these next 2 weeks hold for your church. And just pray, Lord, that like Mary, those public acts of devotion may be symbols of our love for you. And Lord, we pray for the event here on Wednesdays, for those families and friends coming to share in creativity, perhaps coming for cake, but finding so much more, the good news of Jesus. So bless that time, we pray. And plant seeds of faith on Wednesday, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And I leave space now for you to pray for people and places on your heart, either silently or into the space. Lord, we thank you that you hear these prayers. We thank you that at the foot of your cross we can find healing and strength and the power to go on. And by your wounds we are healed. So heal us, Lord, we pray. Heal bodies, minds, and hearts. Make us whole. And we ask all of these prayers, spoken and unspoken, through the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. And we unite our prayers as we say together the prayer Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now dedicate our offerings to the Lord. Thank you. Freely you have received, freely give. Lord, we bless the gifts given for the work of your church today and for the work of bringing good news to victims in Myanmar and Thailand. And Lord, with them now we give ourselves afresh to you. Lord, take this week ahead and make us your light and your salt in our communities. Lord, given with thanksgiving for all you have given for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our communion prayer will be on the screen, and there will be the responses for you to join in our great prayer of thanksgiving at the Lord's table. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessing and praise belong to you, gracious and eternal God. Through your living word you created all things, the majesty of the heavens and the glory of the earth. In your wisdom and goodness you have made all people in your image and likeness. Therefore, with saints and angels, and with all creation, we lift up our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise that in the fullness of time you gave your only Son to share our human nature and to be tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin, to set his face resolute towards Jerusalem and to be lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw all creation to himself. When the hour of his glory came, and loving his own to the end, he sat with them at supper, took bread, and after giving thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. In obedience to his command, we recall his suffering and death, his resurrection and ascension, and we look for his coming in glory. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. In union with Christ's offering for us, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice. Unite us in love and peace with all your people, until with the whole company of heaven we are brought into the presence of your eternal glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup we take is a sharing in the blood of Christ. We say together, Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, King of the world, grant us peace. We say together, Lord, we come to your table, trusting in your mercy, and not in any goodness of our own. We are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under your table, But it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. So feed us with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, that we may ever live in him, and he in us. Amen. Receive this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ, and feed on the Lamb of God with reverence and with faith. Come to this sacred table not because you must, but because you may. Come not to declare that you are righteous, but that you desire to be true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but because in your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. We will share bread and wine with continuous flow, and those who would like to receive in their seats afterwards may do so.
Come and see
the body of Christ to keep you in eternal life. As we're able, we remain standing as we join in our prayer after communion, saying together, Gracious God, we thank you that you have nourished us with the bread of life and with the cup of salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises live in your glory, and we who have known the greatness of your love see you face to face in your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And our final hymn, for those who are able to remain standing, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free, and so we sing how our chains have been gone and taken away by the love of Jesus and the power of his cross. As we go into this new week, he says, I am making all things new. So go, blessed by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed to be a blessing to others. Amen.
Amen.
We say together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore.
Amen.